WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Yes.
Whoa.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Wes Moss here every Sunday morning. Washington and meets Wall Street update. So much happening in Washington. We're not even going to be able to get to all of it today. Here we are, and it's not even the end of January yet. The stock market is up. S&P 500 up 7.5% on the year. Dow Jones up 7.68%. That's good for an entire year. And it's only been a month. What? Yes. So it's been a good year for the stock market already in 2018, but we haven't even finished the month of January. 7.5% so far. And I keep this almanac, the Stock Trader's Almanac. And I get a new one every year. It's a 2018 version, and it's on my desk. And it's so interesting because every single day gives you what happened on this date in history in a meaningful way. And here's what the Stock Trader's Almanac says. And this started way back in the early 70s. So this has been around for well over 40 years. Originated in, again, early 70s. And if you look at this year's edition and you look at the data going back to 1950 on the market, the January barometer, and you've heard this before, so January goes, so goes the market. Going back to 1950, January barometer has been wrong in figuring out what the rest of the year is going to do only 9 times in 68 years, which gives it an 87% accuracy rate forecasting what happens for the rest of the year. Well, if January is any indication how we're going to do, 2018 might very well end up to be a pretty good year. And the reason, or at least one of the primary reasons behind that, has to do with Washington. We're going to talk about that. So number one, and there are three major components we need to address when it comes to Washington, D.C. today and what that and how that influences Wall Street. Number one, massive tax reform momentum. Regardless of what you read, and I think there are more and more folks are coming around understanding that tax reform is a net positive. It's actually a very good thing for the economy. But because there's so much noise politically against tax reform, as if tax reform is a political issue, not an economic issue. I think it's an economic issue more than it is a political issue. But of course, it's politicized. Those who dislike the very thought of tax reform will close their eyes to any sort of data point that says, hey, this has actually been pretty good for the economy, pretty good for individuals, good for families, good for companies. Hey, this is a net positive. But if you don't like the thought of tax reform, you are turning a blind eye to that. You're saying, hey, it's not a good idea. But America is warming up to that. America is slowly and surely understanding the tax reform is a net positive. So that's number one. Number two, honey, I forgot to increase earnings estimates. What? Well, that's a little bit of Hollywood mixed with Wall Street. And it just means that Wall Street analysts are still woefully behind in understanding what tax reform means from a company earnings perspective. And that's what's the most important thing as an investor for your 401k. Company earnings. And they're dreadfully behind the curve in figuring out what tax reform is going to do. So they're saying, oops, I forgot to increase all those companies that I cover and what they're actually going to earn in 2018 and 2019. Let me get out my pencil, my HB12C calculator and figure it out and quickly adjust. And that's happening right now. And it's almost February, but it's not happening until right now. And number three, lobbying is still alive and well on Wall Street. 2016, we started really talking about the impact of lobbying on companies and how they and their ability to earn a profit on Wall Street. Publicly traded companies who get in the Washington jet stream and figure out a way to make sure that law is congruent with the kind of business that they're doing. And those companies, year after year after year, which goes back more than a decade of research, really helps. It helps earnings, and it helps those individual companies from a stock performance perspective. So there's just so much happening here, and the news flow just continues. And we are live here on this foggy Sunday morning in Atlanta. It's 51 degrees. The fog is so thick, you can cut it with a knife. You can barely see 15 feet in front of your face. So why not hunker down and hang out and listen to some Money Matters for the next 2 hours? The phone lines are wide open. We want to take your phone calls. Would love to take your financial questions here today as we weave in the importance of what is happening in D.C. with Wall Street, which of course impacts directly your retirement, your investment accounts, you know, what all of it means for you. So phone lines open this morning. Ryan Ely here every Sunday morning to take your calls, patch them through, and we and I will get those calls answered for you here on a Sunday morning. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Luke Moss joining me this morning. Luke, hey, good morning. Again, 404-872, the number, 0750 in the studio, 872-0750. And then, of course, 1-800-WSB-TALK for all the folks listening, I would say abroad, but let's call it Texas, California, Michigan, my home state of Pennsylvania, and my alma mater state, North Carolina, Tar Heel country. So again, the news flow just continues, and it has all throughout this year about tax reform. We've been keeping tabs of how many companies are actually doing something meaningful because of tax reform. Over 250 companies have announced some sort of action because of this. Wage increases, salary increases, bonuses, 401k match incentives. That's a lot of stuff. 262 companies, to be exact, and the list continues to grow every single day. So we are keeping track of this. On an individual basis, we now know that over 3 million people, 3 million Americans are getting some sort of direct financial incentive from their companies due to tax reform, directly due to tax reform. We're talking about over 250 companies. We're talking about over 3 million people getting some sort of incentive. And I'm not even talking about what the tax code means for them individually. This is on top of the vast majority of U.S. taxpayers getting a tax cut. And it also doesn't count the billions and billions of dollars that are going to be put back to work in the United States due to tax reform. So I went through this list. We've compiled, 260-some companies. And there are so many examples that are in the millions or hundreds of millions, but let's only give you examples that are that start with a B. B is in billions. Here are a couple of examples that start with a B, and we will go to the phones here in a minute. Let's start with Apple. $2,500 employee bonuses, $2,500 in the form of restricted stock units. Okay, but then $30 billion. In capital expenditures over the next 5 years here in the United States. 20,000 new employees are going to be hired at Apple. And then they're increasing their support for coding education and science and technology and engineering and arts and math here in the United States. AT&T, 200,000 employees getting a $1,000 bonus. AT&T is going to increase their capital expenditures by, yes, over $1 billion here in the United States. Comcast, 100,000 people getting bonuses of a grand. And then they're investing, listen to this number, $50 billion in infrastructure over the next 5 years. Federal Express, FedEx, this is a big one. FedEx committing more than $3.2 billion in wage increases. This is what they're paying their employees to stay competitive. They're increasing bonuses. They're increasing their pension funding. That's a forever number. That lasts for decades, it's not a sugar high. That's a long period of time. And another $1.5 billion in capital expenditures here in the United States. How about Fiat Chrysler? Chrysler here in the U.S., $2,000 bonuses for 60,000 employees, $1 billion investment in just one plant in Warren, Michigan, 2,500 new jobs. How about JP Morgan Chase? Well, they raised their wage base, so permanent increases for salaries for 22,000 employees, 4,000 new jobs, 400 new branches. All in, JP Morgan announced a $20 billion commitment, $20 billion over the next 5 years to help employees and job growth and local economic growth. And by the way, a big chunk of that's going to philanthropy. A big chunk going to philanthropy now at $1.75 billion over the next 5 years. They're also going to increase how they help small businesses by loaning small businesses money by an increase of $4 billion. Again, all examples that have a B on that start with a B. How about, let's go to a little winery. Let's go to small business, Sonoma County, California, the Jordan Winery, owned by John Jordan. He's given his employees $1,000 bonuses, and he's out there advocating for other small business owners to do the same thing. Imagine, John says, if we can get 5,000 small businesses, each with 200 employees, to join in giving just a $1,000 bonus to employees. What does that mean? Well, that's $1 billion into the pockets of working Americans. And again, that's before this tax change starts to hit in a couple of weeks as paychecks will start to go higher. Remember, companies are not benevolent. These are not nonprofit companies. They're competitors. And it is a competitive world that we live in. And they're not giving out bonuses just to be nice. They're giving out bonuses. They're raising wages. They're increasing pensions. They're increasing 401k matches to make their place of business a better place to work and stay, to retain the best talent, to retain workers over their other competitors. So these are structural changes that are happening here because of tax reform. And we're going to continue to try to understand what's happening. We don't want conjecture around this. We want the facts behind what's happening here in America when it comes to tax reform. And you be the judge whether you think it's a good idea economically or a bad idea economically. And I encourage you to stay economically focused here and not politically focused here, despite the entire show today here on Money Matters talking about Washington, D.C. All right. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to go to the phones. Lots of great calls and questions on hold. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead right here. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
Ask for the money and investing advice you need.
I was a stranger in the city. Out of town were the people I knew. I had that feeling of self-pity.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. We want to go to the phones here. We're going to start with Granger, who joins us from Sugar Hill. Granger, good morning. Welcome to the show. How can we help, my friend?
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to just congratulate WSB, because the only thing good about being stuck in Atlanta traffic is I've learned a whole lot of stuff over the years, even from Dave Baker.
Oh, my God. God bless you, Granger. Even from Dave Baker, he's probably going to text me right now. He's going to be giddy like a schoolgirl for the rest of the day because you said that. So that's awesome.
I've just learned so much. Fortunately, I don't have to get stuck in traffic anymore. Anyway, so my son is in Germany in the Air Force, and he's opted into the BRS blended retirement system, and I believe that he's required to invest in certain funds, and I think that's a C fund, S fund, I fund, which are all stock market funds. And I'm trying to convince him that they will match 5% if he puts at least 5%. I'm trying to convince him to put at least 10%, so he will get 15%. Anyway, I'm interested in the allocation amount between the C fund, the S fund, and the I fund.
So again, what Granger's asking here for your son, and by the way, I thank your son for his service. How old is he in the Air Force in Germany?
He's 26.
God bless him. And and Granger, as a good dad, is talking about the TSB, the Thrift Savings Fund or account that his son is eligible for. And if you're that young, at 26, you want to be primarily equity-based. Now, they have, so CSI is common stock, that's the S&P 500, S for small cap and I for international. If I'm 26, I want to have really 100% in those three, Granger. There's the F fund for fixed income and G fund for government fixed income. But I think at 26, Granger, I would tell him to be 100% between those three. He's got decades and decades to go and invest. And God bless you. I'm glad you're learning for something here on WSB Radio and Traffic. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.
Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors, Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a foggy Sunday morning. It's 51 degrees. The fog as thick as I've ever seen it here in Atlanta. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What a great day to hang out and listen to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. A lot of great calls. We're going to go right to the phones here as we have Ryan and I will come in here. We'll talk about all the things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk Washington politics. And I just give you a great list of some examples that start with the B as in billions that are, these are just real economic impact that's happening here in the United States. There's not, this isn't a political issue. These are just data points, just facts. These are happening. And so as much as you hear from that is politicizing what really should be an economic conversation, I'm just giving you the economic facts of that. But even more fun than that is taking phone calls and really just talking on a Sunday morning and try to help you figure out the best path to move forward when it comes to whatever your financial question is. So if you've been thinking about something, maybe you're talking to your spouse, you're saying, hey, honey, should we do this? What do you think we should do? Should we buy a vacation house? Should we not? Should we roll this 401k over? Should we or not? Should I stick with this plan or go to that plan? Can we retire this year or maybe next year or never? I don't know. When should I take Social Security? I don't know. Should we take this lump sum thing that my company's offering me in a big chunk, put in an IRA? Or should I take the monthly amount that they're guaranteeing me for the rest of my life? Well, wait a minute. What about your life? It's not just me, it's us. These are the kind of things that we tackle here on the show. And as certified financial planners, we do every day. And I love doing it. It is so much fun. I've been doing this for over 20 years and still love doing it every day. And we love coming in here on Sunday mornings to be as helpful as we can. We like to believe, or we still think we are probably the most objective or one of the most objective financial advice shows left in the nation, in the world. If you don't get everything here on WSB Radio, we upload the shows to iTunes. The Money Matters podcast is just called Money Matters with Wes Moss, or Wes Moss Money Matters. You can go to iTunes, subscribe to it. You can listen to it. I want to say it's actually commercial free. So you can listen to it in fast time, 1.25x, 1.5x, or you can even listen in slow version. Anyway, it's available on iTunes. Please, if you love Money Matters or like Money Matters, please leave a review on iTunes. It's something I always forget to ask on the air. It's a super helpful for that. So thank you. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. We're going to go right to the phones. By the way, the number here, 404-872-0750. That's the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to just start. We're going to go right down the list here. We'll start with Michael in Alpharetta. Michael, good morning. How can we help?
Morning, Wes. I have a question about a 401k rollover. Is there an option or is there a easy choice between Wells Fargo and the principal? Is there really a significant difference?
There could be, so tell me a little bit more about the plan here. And so one is the old plan, one's the new plan. You're thinking about combining these?
Correct. There's a little bit of money in the old one and a fairly more money in the new one. So I'm going from Wells Fargo would be rolling it over into the principal.
Principal. How big of a, so my experience here, and I have, without really looking at the numbers, take what I say with a grain of salt. I don't know, because I don't know the exact fund cost. I can tell you from helping business owners with retirement plans, the principal tends to be pretty expensive from a cost perspective. And those are the things that you, Michael, and everybody listening needs to think about when you're thinking about the plan that you're participating in. I think you're a lot better off not having a bunch of straggling financial 401k plans or 403b plans, and you're better off having them all in one. So I think it's a good idea to take the old plan and consider, oh, maybe I should just roll it into my current plan. That's where I'm putting money in every day or every paycheck. That's where I'm getting my match. The level of your assets in the plan, that doesn't impact your match. It's only your contributions that matter, of course. But it's easier just to try to have retirement plans consolidated. The only thing I would caution you with is that sometimes retirement plans, and I have seen this in the past with Principal, and I don't know, maybe they've changed things since the last time I looked at a Principal 401k plan, they can tend to have pretty expensive fund costs. And in the world that we live in today, there's no reason to pay 1.5% a year for a bunch of mutual funds inside your 401k plan. The costs in 401k plans have come down pretty significantly in the last decade or so, and that's even accelerated in the last few years. So I think the easiest thing to do, Michael, is just to go spot check 5 or 10 of the funds. Usually under the options tab in your 401k plan, it'll show you, hey, this fund is 0.50 a year, 0.5%. This fund is 1.1% a year. This fund is 1.6% a year. And they usually, and they should, include all the other administrative costs that you typically share inside a 401k plan. So it kind of gives you an all-in cost. And if you've got a bunch of funds that are one or close to 1% a year, or maybe even more, then I think you're in a really expensive 401k plan and you have a lot of other options. So that's the first thing. Of course, you still want to do your 401k. It's got all these advantages you can put. Now, by the way, in 2018, they've upped the contribution limits. So you can do $18,500 if you're under 50. 50 and over, now we can do $24,500. That all goes in pre-tax. It lowers your adjusted gross income, lowers your overall tax bill, saves your retirement. You know, it checks every box of a good idea. The only thing you really got to make sure of is that you don't want to take an old 401k plan and roll it into an expensive new 401k plan. So if that's the case, let's just say you do your due diligence, you find out that these principal funds are kind of expensive, then forget rolling the old money into it. Just do your contributions in the current plan. So you're kind of stuck with it, but that it's okay. All the other advantages that I just mentioned override that it's maybe a little bit costly. And then Sure. You open up, and then instead of rolling it into your new 401k plan or your new retirement plan, just roll it into your own IRA. Open up an IRA at Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard, one of those big three custodians, and put your old 401k in a new IRA. And then you can control the cost. You can buy low-cost ETFs. You can have any allocation that you want. And that, to me, starts to give you the control, Michael, on how you invest this money and controlling the costs as well. 404-872. Thank you for your call, Michael. 404-872-0750. That's the number here in the studio. We're taking your calls and questions here on the show on this Sunday morning edition of Money Matters, like we do every Sunday, 9 to 11. Again, the number in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. You can find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Going to continuing on the phones here, we're going to Lynn, who joins us on the line from Avondale Estates. Lynn, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can I help? What's going on?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I am retired and am fortunate enough to have enough of pension and Social Security that I can live modestly but comfortably. I do not have a mortgage on my condo, but I do have a home equity line of credit.
Got it.
That is up a bit because I have been needing to help a family member, and I have just done some upgrades on my condo.
Tell me about the, so Lynn, tell me a little bit about the amount of the home equity line and the how it's priced. What does that look like? Meaning, what is your interest rate? What does it cost? How much is your payment?
My interest rate is about, but I think that is variable. That can change.
Sure. Okay. So it's probably tied to either LIBOR or the prime rate, and it certainly can go up as interest rates float higher.
Right. The line of credit right now is just under $50,000, between $45,000 and $50,000.
So it's between $45,000 and $50,000. Okay.
That I have on the loan now. The total line of credit is $90,000.
Okay.
And since it is variable, and since you were talking about that interest no longer being deductible, I am wondering if I need to mortgage the condo and pay that off.
Just to have a regular mortgage as opposed to the HELOC.
Right. Will that be to my financial advantage under the new tax law?
Well, okay, so a couple of thoughts here, Lynn. Do you think, so the cost of this HELOC every month is probably what? I'm gonna venture a guess of $400 a month.
I can pay as little as the interest. I usually pay about $1,000.
So you are certainly from an amortization standpoint, you're paying this thing off right now.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Paying it off.
Got it. And then about how much do you have after tax savings? So not IRA money, not 401k money.
I am not touching my IRA.
Got it. But after
I will have to begin pulling this year, but I do not plan to touch my IRAs or my investments in my lifetime.
Okay. So I think a couple of thoughts here. If you have this as, so the rate right now is tied to something that floats. So you've got LIBOR, yeah. Or you've got, it's probably tied to LIBOR, or it's tied to the prime rate or something that can move as the
prime rate, I think.
Okay. And as the Federal Reserve increases interest rates, so can the cost of your loan. However, the amount of this loan that's $45,000, is, in my opinion, it's not enough to go and refinance this, because if you're paying $1,000 a month, this thing could be paid off in a couple of years, right, Lynn?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I think if you're paying this thing off to the tune of $1,000 a month, then this thing is going to be paid off in, well, if we just do some math, around 4 years from now. So I don't think that it is, I don't think that it is helpful or advantageous in the long run because of the cost to do any sort of refinance or even make this go back to a permanent mortgage. I think it'd be tough to do that anyway. I've talked to mortgage lenders. They don't want to do an actual mortgage versus a HELOC, anything that's under $100,000 anyway. So I think that if I were you, I would continue the same payoff schedule that you're doing, Lynn. You may even want to excel.
Every penny on it I can. Yeah. I do not like to pay interest.
Yeah, I think you're doing the right thing by doing this. I think it's too expensive, Lynn, to go back and restart and do a whole nother loan or refinance. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. And thank you, Lynn, for your call. Phone lines open here on Sunday mornings. We're taking your calls and questions. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. More Money Matters right here on News 95.5 AM 750, straight ahead.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
I'm just lost in a fire.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning, 9 to 11. Your calls and questions answered, 404-872-0750. Just finished up with a call about a HELOC. So again, home equity line of credit. You've heard lots of fodder about this potentially from the new tax law that HELOCs are dead. They're no longer tax deductible. But I believe it's a little more nuanced than that. And everything that I've read about HELOCs is that what you can, let me try to clarify this. There's no longer can you just use a home equity line of credit. Let's say you've got a house that's worth $500,000, you owe $200,000, you've got a $200,000 equity line that the bank would let you go and take. So you go, you open up the equity line, you go buy a camper and you buy a boat and you pay off 10 grand worth of credit card debt like you used to be able to do, but you still deduct all that under the old rule. From what I'm reading, the way HELOCs are now moving forward, it really matters what the use is for. So no longer can you deduct a bunch of non-home improvement or non-housing related costs. You can't go, again, buy a boat and a camper, pay off credit card debt under the new HELOC rules and still deduct that interest. From what I'm reading and how I'm interpreting this, That is what has been killed in under the new tax law in 2018 moving forward. But the way I'm understanding it is that if it's still home related, you're putting an addition onto your house and you need to borrow $50,000 in equity line to do that, from what I'm understanding, that could still be tax deductible under the new plan. Now, remember, there's a lot of nuance to every new tax code. There's still CPAs themselves trying to figure this out. So we're going to keep an eye on this provision as I talk to more and more CPAs. Ask your CPA about your HELOC. See how they're interpreting that rule. And we will keep you updated here on Money Matters about the use of this very important rule when it comes to the mortgage interest on a home equity line for your home or other uses. Again, so good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. 10 o'clock hour straight ahead. We're talking about Washington and Wall Street and the impact of Washington on Wall Street and taking your calls and questions. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. More Money Matters in your calls straight ahead.